Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very happy to sit with you in meditation. I know I say that every week, but I say it every week because I mean it every week. Very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together for 10 minutes. We're going to start soon. So please take your seat, get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor or on your sofa or chair. In any case, find a way to sit that enables you to feel uplifted and dignified. And before we sit, I want to continue our conversation today about the Four Noble Truths. Today we're on truth three, but if you missed the first two, don't worry about it. You don't have to go back and listen to anything. I'll recap them a little bit here. So the Four Noble Truths are the very beginning of the Buddhist path. Nobody has to be a Buddhist, by the way, to appreciate them or learn from them. And I wanted to start once again at the beginning, because when it comes to the spiritual journey, there is no other place than the beginning, because every day is different. You are different. The practice feels different. So in other words, whether you never heard of this before or you've heard of it a million times, we're all starting over again right now in our examination of the journey. So the first noble truth, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, was the very unpalatable: life is suffering. Okay, thanks, Buddha. I don't think he meant, however, life is terrible. I think what he meant is everything changes and there's nothing to hold on to. And that is very, very difficult. I agree with that one, I gotta say. Second noble truth is the cause of suffering, which is basically pretending that the first noble truth isn't true. And trying to hold on in any case. Grasping is called the cause of suffering. Trying to build something that, oh, this will always be here. And once I have this or that or whatever it might be, things will be cool. And sure, maybe they will be, but they're also going to go away. That's very distasteful, speaking for myself. So, okay, let's go along with the Buddha here for another few minutes and see, and then you see what you think. Now, the third noble truth is called the cessation of suffering, which is something like, okay, you heard that cause. Now you know how to stop. Stop doing that. And of course, it is really not that simple. So let's just spend a few minutes talking about how do you stop suffering. And I want to preface this all by saying there will be no secrets to happiness here. I don't have any. I don't know any. If I did, I would share them with you. However, when I was thinking about this morning, I better tell them there's no secrets to happiness. I did think immediately after that, but there are some secrets to unhappiness, to being successfully unhappy. And by that, I don't mean rolling around in your sorrows. I mean, often unhappiness is a result of turning away from discomfort, where if we did not turn away, we might learn something useful. So unhappiness, we can respect it in certain ways. And I think is a beginning, a good step towards the third noble truth, the cessation of suffering, which is like, I want everything to be different. I want the things I want to stay and I want the things I don't want to go away. And I want those things too, and I want them for you. And there's so many effing things in the world that really should go away. So I'm not saying that that is wrong at all. You could say, I suppose, that suffering begins with the way we hold our mind, with the way we think about things, and the way we create judgments, opinions, and so on, all of which you are fully entitled to. But one place to start in thinking about how do I stop suffering is to look at the way you use thoughts to make your way through the world. So again, you know, we have to do that. I'm not saying be blank, but instead of continually being absorbed in thoughts, I like this, I don't like that, we could choose a different object of attention. In this case, what is actually happening right now. So the cessation of suffering begins with the way you work with your mind. And it doesn't mean that you have good thoughts instead of bad thoughts. It has nothing to do with intellectual approaches or exhortation, stop doing that. If only you understood the cessation of suffering, you could stop suffering, or please remember to stop suffering. Those are all thoughts about the topic. They are not the essence of the topic. So rather than trying to make yourself understand the cessation of suffering, which if you do, give me a call, because I do not. However, what I do know is that it's not about changing the way I think, but it is about changing the way I place my attention. So usually, as mentioned, our attention is absorbed in what we think about things. And that has a lot of suffering in it. When we can somehow rest our attention instead on what is happening, things are different. I'll just say that. How do you do that? Well, we're fixing to do it. It's called the practice of meditation, where you have thoughts, they come and go, you notice you become absorbed, you let go, and you come back to the object of your meditation, which in this case is the breath. And P.S., we are not practicing meditation with attention on breath to become world-class breath followers, because who cares if you're the world's best follower of the breath? It doesn't matter. What we're doing is practicing placing attention on breath, getting lost and coming back, getting lost and coming back, so that when we get up off the meditation cushion and go into our lives, we know how to place attention on that. Because we have practiced with the breath, we know how to place our attention on the people we're talking to, the television shows we're watching, the ways we make decisions, the emails we have to answer, all the things. So we cultivate placement of attention. And that is the beginning, that is the foundation of the cessation of suffering, if for no other reason that you reestablish agency within your own mind. Because so much suffering, at least speaking for myself, is about what I think. And I may be right. This may be TMI, but two nights ago, I had a terrible, terrible night. I woke up in the middle of the night, which is unusual, and I couldn't go back to sleep, which is also unusual because I'm very good at sleeping. I fell into some sort of pit of despair. Y'all, I couldn't stop myself. It felt so real, and it was real. I believe that's why it felt real. And my thoughts were like, what happens when everyone I love dies? And I don't think I have enough money to get old. I'm too old to start a new career, you know, blah, blah. Things that may sound silly, but they are not silly. I don't have children. That happens to be a fact. So who's going to take care of me? I don't know. I don't want to be, you know, I just kept playing out this old age, infirm, no place to live. Help me, help me. No one there. That was terrible. And it could happen. I wasn't being like crazy. I don't think it will, but it certainly could. So anyway, I suffered a lot. And prior to that, I was lying in my bed in a comfortable little house where I live, and things were fine. You know, some things didn't work, some things did, but basically, oh yeah, okay, this is my life. I recognize it. I woke up in the middle of the night. I was like, I do not recognize anything. Spent a lot of time worrying, eventually went back to sleep and woke up back in some place I recognized, my house. So I guess the reason I'm saying this is my suffering was not caused by the things I was worried about that would happen and that could happen, and then I will really be upset. It was caused by the way my mind was working. And there was nothing I could do about it. I mean, maybe there was, but I couldn't be like, hey, Buddhist lady, work with your thoughts, place attention on your breath, go to sleep. No, because it was more than thoughts, what I was experiencing. It was like a chasm of blackness opened up and I face planted in it. Yeah, your meditation teacher gets depressed and sad and angry and so forth because your meditation person is a person. in any case, I guess the point I'm trying to make is the suffering came from nowhere. It was not fake, it was real. And then it receded into nowhere. And I don't know what caused it, and I really don't want it to come back, but this is my example of if we know in some way how to work with our minds, we can also know how to meet our suffering. And it's not by changing the way we think or ceasing to think certain things, which I tried to do, but I couldn't, but by placing attention on what is actually happening. With every instance that I was able to go, okay, you're okay right now. You're trying to sleep. Just be, remember you have a body. Feel the air. Tune your ear to the far off traffic sounds. Then I felt better when I was just where I was. So I guess the cessation of suffering can be summed up is in just be where you are. That sounds really trite and like, oh, that should be on a t-shirt, but it's not trite. Maybe there is a t-shirt, I don't know. So our meditation practice is key. I thought I would also mention that suffering sort of has three underlying dimensions, you can say, according to Buddhist thought. So you don't have to be a Buddhist to get value out of this or doubt it or scoff at it or accept it. Whatever you want is up to you. The first sort of quality of suffering or samsara is called bewilderment. Like, what? What's going on? And the truth is, we don't know. I have no idea. And I may think, yeah, I got my routines, I do my things. I'm very bad at routines, by the way. So cool, I understand my life. And then boom, something happens and like, no, that was all, I don't know where that came from. But beyond, I don't really understand the causes and conditions that mandate my life. I don't really understand how reality works. Like, I know people are born and they die because I read about it and I've seen it, but I don't really believe it. I'm like, what? On some inner level. On an outer level, I'm like, oh, I have a house, I have a job, I have whatever, I have the things. But inside, there's some part of me and you, I posit, that is like, I don't really know. There's a sense of all pervasive, uh-oh. It's not just you. It's not just me. It's according to the Dharma, it's everyone. The second is quality that gives rise to suffering. First, we're like, what? Then it's called fixation, which is, actually, I do understand what's going on. I have studied it. I've developed theories. Here's what I think. Here's my reasons. Here's my charts. Here's my graphs. And I'm sticking with it, regardless of what I encounter. These things are cause happiness, these things cause unhappiness. This is who I am, this is who I am not. End of story. I mean, yeah, okay. It's cool to know things about yourself and all that. But we tend to become fixated on what we thought before about what is happening right now. And that creates confusion. So we're bewildered and then we fixate and the result is suffering. I don't know. I don't know. I'm making up something to explain what I don't know. Oh, I'm not really here. And therefore I'm suffering because I'm in a dream. Okay. I'm going to stop there because this is getting, you know, this is intense. I am not trying to pretend otherwise. While these truths, the Four Noble Truths in this case, are the introduction to the path, they are introductory, they are also extraordinarily profound and advanced, quote unquote. So that's where we are right now in our time together at the very beginning and fallen off into the deep end at the same time, and I'm happy to go there with you. So to close, let me just say, remind you, if you ever heard this before, of something that the mysterious and controversial and masterful Chögyam Trungpa Rinpoche said about falling into the deep end. The bad news is you're falling through the air. Nothing to hold on to, no parachute. The good news is there is no ground. So from within this view, all we have is awareness that is constantly in motion. And that's who we are. Yeah, no secrets to happiness here. So in any case, let's practice. Because when we do, like I cracked my phone, it's broken. We're practicing the cessation of suffering. As we sit here doing nothing, quote unquote. So, cool. So begin your practice by establishing your posture, which means first, before you even sit up straight, remember you have a body. I have to often remind myself, oh yeah, there's something going on down here. This is all me. I'm as much in my feet as I am behind my eyeballs. And just sit up straight. And relax. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. Let the belly soften and let go. And when you think you've relaxed the belly, let it relax a little bit more. See if you can let go a little bit more. Let the shoulders relax. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. And let all the muscles of speech relax. The tongue, the jaw, the throat, because you don't need them right now, because you don't have to talk. What a luxury. Breath is natural in and out through the nose, unless you have a cold. Otherwise, just normal breathing, no breathing technique. The eyes are open and the gaze is cast down to a comfortable spot in front. And let the eyes be soft. And let the brow relax. Now let your attention come to rest on the breath, which is not about noticing the breath, it's about feeling the breath. Just feel the body breathe. In and out. At the end of the exhale is a little gap. And then the next inhale just happens naturally. You do not have to try. So that introduces a deeper note even of relaxation. No effort, just breathing and resting your mind on the breath. Let your mind be as it is. All thoughts come and go. So there's no effort to stop thinking or change thinking or thinking schminking, just whatever's going on up there is okay. Because your primary attention is on the breath. So thoughts can fall into the background, like ambient noise next door. However, if you notice that you go next door, as it were, you become so absorbed in thought that you have forgotten about your breath completely, not a little bit, completely. Cool. Notice that. Label that thinking. That's thinking. This is meditating. Let go. Come back. And gently begin again, feeling the body breathe. So we'll sit together for a few minutes until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It really, really is important. Thank you for practicing with me. I appreciate it. And thank you for practicing together. The Open Heart Project is a miraculous community made more so by your presence. I'll see you next week.